If you have your Bible, turn with me over to Ephesians 2 and follow along, please, as I read, beginning at verse 11. Ephesians 2 and 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been called upon, or having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Let's pray to God. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place. And through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to look clearly into your word, handling it correctly, so that we can hear what you have to say to us today. Thank you for the freedom that we enjoy to gather together as a family, to worship, to study your word, to have multiple copies of it, display it without fear. We know that is the direct result of your blessing. You have used men and women through our armed services to protect that right and that privilege. We honor and thank them today. We have been, in fact, the recipients of great blessing. We are not a perfect people. As one of the hymns we sang this morning said, you must repair every flaw. Our problems do not have political solutions. Our shortcomings cannot be legislated against. We need you. We need to recognize right and wrong, truth and error. And as a nation, turn to the one who made us. Thank you, Father, for the promise of your presence. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 11 starts, therefore, and whenever there's a therefore, you always need to stop and say, okay, what's the therefore? What have we been talking about? Well, let's just go back to the first 10 verses. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. That's where we were without Christ. Totally lost. But God made us alive. Remember? It is by grace alone, through faith alone, that we can have salvation. And verse 10 said, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Therefore, verse 11, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, starting here in verse 11, going all the way through chapter 3, Paul begins to focus on the Gentile believers. Paul, a Jew's Jew, a Pharisee's Pharisee, it would have seemed natural that he would want to spend his time with the Jews. I mean, he would have the most in common with them, one would think. But Paul recognized early on that there were others God had called to do that, and that instead he had called him to focus on the Gentiles. I read this week in a missions magazine reminder that God would much rather equip the called than call the equipped. Why? Because at the end of the day, he wants us to all know and see that it's him working through that person rather than that person working. And so Paul, recognizing the calling and that God had equipped him to reach out to those who would not naturally be drawn to him or him to them, is focused upon the Gentile. And he says, now remember where you were. And here he's reminded of this great division between Jew and Gentile. God chose Israel. God chose the descendants of Abraham. God sent Moses and equipped Moses to bring them out of the land of Egypt and make them a people. He did that so that in this world we would have a body of believers who, by the way they lived, would be attractive to others and draw others to him. Sound familiar? But it didn't work that way. Not God's fault. He chose them. He loved them. He revealed himself to them. And what did they do? They chose to be like the world around them. But in that process, became proud and arrogant. And said, you know, we are the sons of Abraham. We are somebody because we are the sons and daughters of Abraham. And therefore, it's only natural that we would look down on those of you who are not the sons and daughters of Abraham. They were proud in an arrogant, sinful way. And so by the time we get to the first century and the church, there's still a division, Jew and Gentile. And Paul says, now, you Gentile folks, remember what that was like, verse 12? You were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, because it was understood that the Christ, the Messiah, would be Jewish, a descendant of Judah, and that he would come to Israel. And despite all that the prophets had said, Israel had come to the conclusion that God loved them and would save them alone.
And so the only way to come to the Christ, the only way to come to the Messiah had to be through Israel. And Israel was not very accepting. So you were separate, strangers to the covenants of promise. You did not know that, yes, God loved Israel, but he also loved the rest of the world as well. And that Christ, that Messiah, was promised through Abraham to not the nation. God's very careful about the words he chooses. Not the nation, but the nations. Even when God promised Abraham a redeemer, he promised it to the world. But Israel's not sharing that. And so the Gentiles are not aware of the promises that God has made, having no hope and without God in the world. That's where you were. Someone asked the question, what's worse than being lost? And of course, that could be lost as in not knowing where you are and how to get to where you want to be, or lost spiritually. Separate from God. What's worse than being lost? Well, being lost and knowing nobody's trying to find you. And that's where the Gentiles were. Separate from God, unaware of his promises, and nobody cares. But, verse 13, in Christ Jesus, we have access to the Father. Now don't forget, Christ Jesus, not his first and second name, first and middle name, nothing like that. Christ is his title, who he is, his job description. He's the Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer, our Savior. Jesus, well, that's what they called him. The angels told Mary, call him Jesus. Not Michael, not Daniel, not Stephen. Call him Jesus. So that we would always understand when we refer to him as Christ Jesus, that he's the God-man. Only God could redeem us. Only God could be the Messiah. Only God could die for your sins and mine. But it took a man. So in Christ Jesus, we have access to the Father. How did that come about? Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, who you who were formerly far off have been brought near, how? By the blood of Christ. Now, ultimately, that's how it always was to happen. But how might it have happened? Israel could have seen herself is God's great welcoming sign to the world. This is who people are, who recognize the one God who is the creator of all, recognize him as the one God who loves us, and we can respond to that great grace by faith and have a relationship with him. We are the example of that. God, Israel could have said to the world. Didn't happen that way. The world, Gentiles, you and me, had to wait for the fulfillment of the promises, had to wait until we were brought near by the blood of Christ. It was not until Jesus died that the world was introduced to this great God of grace. For he himself, verse 14, is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one man, thus establishing peace. Paul says there's this great enmity. I'm
How many times did you use that word last week? Okay. Hostility. Conflict. Division. That's what that word's about. He took two people, Jew and Gentile. One chosen by God and given every benefit. The other, who should have been able to recognize the goodness of God in the other, forgotten. Always at loggerhead and said, in Christ, you will be one. In Christ, that hostility will go away. In Christ, we have access to a single Father, to one Father. He, verse 14, He is our peace. He tears down the dividing wall. And that has so many applications. When it comes to hostility, there's division between God and man. There's division between Jew and Gentile. There's division between male and female, slave and free, black and white, powerful, powerless. But when I first read this, the first thing that popped to my mind is the division between Jew and God. That was represented in the tabernacle and then in the temple by the division between the holy place and the holy of holies. The holy place where the high priests would offer the sacrifices and represent Israel to God. But the holy of holies, once a year, the high priest would enter in there by himself to offer the annual atonement for Israel. So sacred, no one else could go in there. So sacred that even if, while in the Holy of Holies, the high priest were to be overcome and die, he went in with a cord wrapped around 1 foot so that he could be pulled out. No one was going to go in there to get him. It was that holy, it was that sacred, it was that special. Because that's where God represented himself to Israel. He wasn't contained there, but it represented his presence. That's the significance of that dividing wall coming apart as a result of the death of Christ. Now any man, not just the high priest annually, not just the other priests who functioned outside of the holy place, but anyone could walk in to the very presence of God. Why? Because of the blood of Christ. That broke down the barrier. That eliminated the enmity, the hostility, the conflict. So it is in our world today. There are a lot of divisions, a lot of things that divide us. This last week, you know, we were reminded from politicians to celebrities to all kinds of talking heads. There's so much that divides us, but there's so much that unites us. I just felt so worn. But the truth, the only thing that can and will unite us is the blood of Christ. The solutions are not political. The solutions cannot be legislated. The solutions are a choice and not on a ballot. As thankful as we should be that we could cast one, the solution is in the finished work of Christ. That's where our hope is. Some of you were elated by the results Tuesday night. Some of you are disappointed by the results Tuesday night. Here is the good news. It doesn't matter in terms of eternity.
many. The solutions aren't there. Do we have preferences? Yes. Do we have liberties we want to see protected? Absolutely. How we do that? Well, that's where the discussion has to end, right? Because we're not going to agree. But let us agree on this. The solution is Jesus Christ. And where we will spend eternity. Not who will spend the next 4 years or 6 years or 2 years in what seat where. Where will you? Where will your neighbor spend eternity? We have access to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. As a result of that, remember how separated we were? Remember, understand that in Christ Jesus we have access to the Father. And then finally here in verse 19, so then we are fellow citizens. So then, verse 19, we are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Remember, Paul told us back in chapter 1, we were chosen, we were predestined to adoption. Jew or Gentile, brought into one family, God's family. So now, Jew or Gentile, black or white, male or female, powerful, powerless. And there was a time I did not believe this, but Republican and Democrat. Throw in a libertarian and somebody else who doesn't have a clue who he is or what he is. If we are in Christ Jesus, we are all in the same family. Now, I know a little bit about adoption. My youngest sister was adopted. I was 10. She was 2 months old. She had absolutely nothing to do with the process. Now, she was so doggone cute, but that wasn't even her, you know. What I remember is Mom and Dad brought her into the family as foster parents. They fell in love with her. They didn't want to leave her when they had to go to my dad's next duty station, so they started the process of adoption. Karen had nothing to do with it. She was chosen, and she was adopted. Sound familiar? And now, and whenever Karen and I are together, I will tease people that I'm the one that was adopted. Now, many of you haven't met Karen. Karen is an Athabascan Indian, an Alaskan Indian, very dark. So when the two of us are together, I just tell them, you know, I was adopted by a bunch of Eskimo. And I can get away with that unless other of the families. She had nothing to do with it. In fact, nobody ever asked her. So that's where the illustration falls apart a little bit. But you see, here's the point. She's as much a part of our family as my sister and I. Her older sister and I. With all the rights and privileges and responsibilities, it's the rest of us. And because of that, we are one. We're all a part of God's household. Verse 20 says, being built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and then Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, the very foundation of it all. We're a part of that, built together, put together. We have a part in this. Our parts are unique to who we are. The role that we have been chosen and predestined to fill. But all a part of this one body into a dwelling of God. We are fellow citizens. Remember a big difference between verses 1, 2, and 3 and verse 10? Remember last week when we looked at that?
totally, absolutely lost. No question about it. Verse 10, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works.
Wow. What God has accomplished through the finished work of Christ. So here, now, as Paul begins to focus on you and me as Gentiles, separate, not a part of that unfolding drama of redemption through Israel and the sons of Abraham and Moses and all of the great prophets. We're kind of outside of that. But then Jesus comes, the Christ, the Messiah, who fulfills all that the prophets said he would fulfill, dying not just for the sins of Israel or to redeem Israel or the sons of Abraham, but to redeem all of us. And as a result of that redemption, making us brothers and sisters, all a part of the same family. You were separate. And you know, there was a sense in which we were unwelcome. But now, in Christ Jesus, we have access to the Father. We don't have to become Jewish first. We don't have to clean up our act first. We just get to come through the blood of Christ. Claim him as Savior. Recognize him as Lord. And we're welcomed into the family. He loved us all. And as a result, we are fellow citizens. A holy temple, Paul says in verse 21. A holy temple. How's that? Well, God lives within the heart of every believer in the person of his Holy Spirit. So just like the tabernacle and the temple contain representation of God himself, so within the hearts and lives of every genuine believer, God dwells in the person of his Holy Spirit. For what purpose? So we can look down our noses at all the pagans around us. So that we can love one another, and all of those pagans around us want to become one of us. And we invite them to become one of us because we were just like they are. And we invite them to come to the same Christ, the same Messiah, the same Redeemer, the very same blood that was shed on our behalf, was shed for their behalf. Remember, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. I pray, Father, that we handle it accurately and in a way that you can use to challenge and encourage us. We determine we're going to make the changes we need to. We want to be reflecting you, your word, your spirit within us, so that when people see us, they're confronted by who you are, and they can make a good choice. They don't see a caricature. They don't see someone who's out of focus or out of touch, but just a very good human, flawed representation of who you are. They can respond to you. Use us in that process. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.